How about that, folks? Can y'all give me an amen? Because I know that I am a child of God. How about y'all? I mean, I know y'all can say y'all a child of God. So I'd like to, again, to welcome everybody here. It is Friday night. And y'all know my standard introduction. Yeah, that was a good song. I love that one because it was fitting for the message, and that's why I had to play it. So I'm getting used to the rhythm bot, so we found something we could play music with. So anyway, I'd like to welcome Asperger's Tigers and Look Out for Jesus. You know, I'm not sure if it's okay for me to say their real names, but they're former chat members of the old chat, and Texas Kitty. I'm not going to say her name neither unless she's, you know, the one who wants to tell whoever she is, but she's another former chat member, and I welcome y'all here. It is Friday night, and guess what Friday night is, folks? Like I always said, y'all could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here to listen to the message. And again, this message is never about me. This place is never about me. It's never about, you know, look at Jim, look at this, look at that. You know, I am honored to stand here before you, and yes, folks, I am standing. But I am honored to stand here before you to present the word because, again, the Lord leads me to these messages. And I'm very humbled to present these messages to you. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that you're willing to get fed because I'm telling you what, with this server, you know, we've been turning it over to God. We've been seeing prayers answers. We've been seeing praise reports. We've been seeing people growing. We've been seeing people coming in. And folks, I do not contribute this to me at all because this is only in the hands of the Almighty God Himself. Amen. Let's give a round of amen for that because God gets all the glory, right? So when I was finishing up the last week's message, I started thinking ahead already of current message. And sometimes I do that whenever I'm presenting a message to you. I'm already thinking ahead of a possible message, but I always go to counsel with God. I go to the Holy Spirit, and I ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you want? Unfortunately, this is kind of what I was thinking, but then I woke up the other night, and I keep a notebook by my lampstand, you know, and whenever something stirs in my heart while in my sleep, you know, or a partial message, I wake up and I write it down and then I start reviewing it in the morning, you know. So this is where this message is stemming from. So I want us to think, when you call yourself a Christian, what are you really saying? When you call yourself a Christian, what are you really saying? What are you telling others you encounter in your life? Better yet, what do people really see in you or in your actions? Bottom line, if you're claiming to be a child of God, why do we at times see you acting like a child of the devil? I'm sure some of you can attest to that. So in our message tonight, we're going to examine what it means to be a Christian and what our character should be like. Now, to get a little insight, a little understanding where we're going to go with this, the meaning character really can be defined as what makes a person distinct from others, often with a particular emphasis on moral qualities. When we think of a person who has a good character, we often describe them with terms like integrity. I'm twisting that around because, again, it's hard to pronounce some of these. But we also look to them as like honesty, strong moral fiber, care and concern for others. A character is demonstrated in actions, but true character resides in the Christian's heart. A Christian character begins with faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, my friends, is what separates Christian character from mere civility or secular morality. Or secular. I said sexual, sorry about that. There are many reasons for a person to do what I call outwardly good or moral acts. However, it is not solely the outward act that makes godly behaviors, but it is the motives behind the act that really matters. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, my friends, we're going to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to be reading verse 27 through 28. So Matthew chapter 23, 27 and 28, and I got my right glasses on today. I had trouble last week reading the scriptures because I didn't have the right glasses. But starting with verse 27, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Now, I know it's two short verses, but, you know, we're going to get to the real meat of this message here. So let's go to the God, and let's go to the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask of you to meet with us this short little time. We ask of you to give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to keep pressing forward. We ask of you to let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us and not give us the spirit of fear, because again, we're seeing this fear thing running rampant throughout this country and basically all over the world. But we as Christians with that character should know we should not succumb to fear. Fear should not even bother us. We are concerned, but we should not be fearing. So, Father, I ask of you right now as we stand before you, if there's anything in my heart that I have not confessed to you throughout this day or before the start of this service, I ask of you, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I ask of you right now to anoint the folks that's here today, to touch them. If there's someone that's dealing with some pain and sicknesses and hurts and whatever other issues there may be, heal them, strengthen them, lift them up, encourage them, guide them, and let them know you are my child and I will take care of you. Father, like I said, they could have done their own little thing, but they decided to come here and gather together to just to be with each other, just to fellowship, and just to hear this message. A lot of times the message is meant just for me. And I thank you for allowing me to have this message because a lot of times I need to see it myself. So I thank you again for drawing the people here and allowing them to come here. And again, as I ask in the name of Jesus, help them, guide them, and show them where your true power comes from. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Grab some water real quick. So y'all seen the message flashed over and over with the automated announcement. The title of this message tonight, my friends, is called A Christian's Character. Now, what is a Christian's character? I'm sure some of you probably have been thinking all throughout the week, I wonder where that message is going to go. I wonder what the message is going to be about. I wonder what he's meaning by a Christian's character. Well, a Christian character, to me, is what I consider true godliness, which includes both right actions and right motives. To have Christian character is to have a heart aiming to please God and glorify Him. A Christian character is a product of the Holy Spirit Himself. It is the Holy Spirit who changes the believer's heart from a state of stone-hearted rebellion and unbelief to a warm-hearted faith and love. It is the Spirit of God who's dwelling in the believer's heart that produces a love for God and others, as well as a desire to deny sin and in order to please God. That's a Christian character, my friends. It is the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, and self-control. It is the fruit of the Spirit is what forms the foundation of a true Christian character, because the Christian's character is the result of the Spirit's work. Let me repeat that. The Christian character, my friends, is the result of the Spirit's work within you, not of ourselves, not of the flesh. We cannot produce that Christian character. The only way that can be produced in us, manifested within us, to grow within us, has to be the Holy Spirit, God Himself. Because like I said, folks, it is forbidden and nonsensical to boast of it as if it were our own doing. In other words, what I'm saying, it's not us to brag about how well we act, how well we do, how well we appear. Just as I read those two scriptures right there, see those Pharisees and Sanhedrins, that's what they were doing. They were putting on just nothing but a mere show, outward appearances. Inwardly, their hearts were just as dead as anything you can think of. Folks, we don't have that right to boast on that. We can brag and give glory to God, yes. I brag and give glory to God all the time. God done this. God is doing this. God's helped me through this. God. But whenever I start taking God and push Him out of sight and start putting Jimbo in that equation, then I'm boasting and bragging on my own self and not of glorifying God. And we got to be careful with that, my friends, because we can get caught up in that. I have. I'm pretty sure I ain't trying to get you to point fingers, but I'm pretty sure that you may have kind of started self-bragging on your own. Yeah, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Yeah, I got this thing. Oh, yeah, I made this. Oh, yeah, I made that. Nah. Folks, a true Christian character is boasting and bragging upon the works of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. You see, Christians are not to boast not of their own righteousness, which does not exist, but of the righteousness of Christ, which we have received through faith. Having said that, we, you and I, are called to walk in the Spirit and not quench them. Please don't. You want to see real workings in your lives? You want to see miracles? You want to see changes? You want to see a complete turnaround, folks? You want to see God working within you? Then don't quench Him. Surrender to Him. Let Him do what He does best. But make sure you're not trying to manifest it in the flesh. I made that boo-boo myself. I started boasting and bragging about me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm taking care of. Look how I'm building this thing. Look, look, look. I. And what did that get me? Nothing. But when I took time to separate myself, to get away from this social media, to get away from all this, shut everything down for 3 days, no TV, no telephones, no nothing. And all I did, I took the word right here, which I got sitting on my desk, and said, Lord, it's me and you. Show me what you want me to do. Help me correct the problem or whatever the issue was. And I'm going to tell you something right now, friends. For the first time in a couple of years, I experienced what they call was total, unconditional clarity of the mind. I saw things clearly. And I realized my mistakes. Wow. I was boasting and bragging about me. I was bragging on this. It was all me. I had God nowhere hardly in the picture. None. And that's when I realized, okay, God, we're going to do it different. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to surrender this to you. But show me and lead me and help me walk the right path and do it the right way. And folks, I've been seeing radical changes in the last several weeks. Wonderful changes. Changes I cannot even comprehend. I'm seeing prayers answered here just in this chat room when we're praying for folks. Folks, that's only contributed to God Himself. But that's been teaching me how I had to be walking in true Christian character forms. I had to. And that's why I said, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Although it is the grace of God that produces good works in us, we are still, you and I, are called to work with and not against the Spirit. Don't work against Him. Let Him do what He does best. Sometimes it may hurt. Sometimes it may cause you to have difficult choices. Sometimes it may force you to do things that you're not happy with, but you're going to have to do it. If you want to see radical changes in your lives, then surrender to Him and let Him do what He does best. And I promise you, the Word of God even says so. You will see things beyond comprehension. Surrender yourself to God. Let Him do what He does best. Even if it costs you some things, do it. And you'll never regret it. Never. You see, we are called to work with the Holy Spirit and not against Him. Not against Him. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 says about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, which says, and I love this passage here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Wonderful words right there, my friends. Wonderful words. Because the Spirit of God lives in the Christian and provides the grace and the power that make godly living possible. We are encouraged to make use of this great power. Why is that? Why are we encouraged to make use of that great power? Well, I'm going to tell you why. According to God's words, it tells us so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. This is why I'm telling you this. Philippians 2, 12 to 13, which says, and this is God's words, this is not me saying this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Oh, I love that. Because see, folks, with all this being said, when we claim to be Christians, what should be the character traits in us for others to see? What should be the character traits for others you encounter? What should they see? Well, I'm kind of glad that y'all asked that question, because we're going to take a look at it tonight. We're going to look at 4 points. The first character trait, yes, T-R-A-I-T-S. I'm assuming y'all know what that means. So, the first character traits is, what are we? What are we? I don't know if you ever pondered on that question or not, but that's one good question to ask. Now, a dictionary definition of a Christian would be something similar to a person professing belief in Jesus as the Christ, or in the religion based on the teachings of Jesus. Now, while this is a good starting point, like many dictionary definitions, it falls somewhat short of what really it's communicating in biblical truth of what it means to be a Christian. It really does fall short. But unfortunately, and y'all can agree with this, over time, the word Christian has lost a great deal of its significance and is often used as someone who is religious or has high moral values. But who may or may not be a true follower of Jesus Christ, just like those scriptures we read. Those Pharisees and the Sanhedrins and the Sadducees, they were not true followers of Christ. They were calling themselves something, but they were not real followers of Christ. They rejected Jesus. And many people today are claiming to be Christians, but they're not true followers of Christ. Many people do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ, consider themselves Christians simply because, well, here's why they consider themselves a Christian, because, hey, I go to church. Oh, yeah, every Sunday, like clockwork. Hey, I live in the Bible Belt. I'm a Christian. Now, my parents, my mom and dad are Catholics. I'm okay. Really? But you see where I'm going with this? My great uncle was a Christian, so I'm okay. Folks, I'm sorry to tell you this, but going to church and saying those things, serving those less fortunate than you, or just being a good person, does not make you a Christian. I'm sorry, but that's biblical facts. Me and Child of Light was talking earlier today, you know, whenever you present the truth to someone in scriptures, and some people who ain't a true follower of Christ gets offended by that. And some of you who's here tonight, y'all know me. I don't beat around the bush with no one. No one, period. I'm a hard preacher. I'm not one of those mammy-pammy type preachers out there trying to water down the gospel, trying to make you feel good, trying to make you feel all lovey-dovey, because that's not who I am. Because I have to show you the real truth according to the Word of God. If you can't handle it, then you can't handle the real truth, then you are not a real Christian. Your character is misplaced somewhere. I tell you like it is, folks, and I tell you the truth, and that's just the way it is. And many people who are not true followers of Christ and call themselves a Christian, when you call out sin for what it is, they become offended. They get upset. They get mad. They don't have nothing to do with you. In fact, some of them call you a hypocrite. Really? You see, folks, many people do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ, consider themselves Christians. They don't. Just because they, you know, someone just said, oh, I just said that prayer. I'm okay. But it doesn't make you a Christian. I'm sorry. And when you tell them that and you confront them with that, Fred just said it, they call you a hater. You're a hater. That's hate speech, brother. You don't talk to me like that. That's not how God's people should be. Well, if you really study the Word very closely, what did Jesus do when he encountered many of them? Oh, he loved them. But he told them flat out truth. And they got mad. They got bent. In fact, they plotted to kill him because of the truth. See, folks, a true Christian is a person who has placed faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, including his death on the cross as payment for our sins and his resurrection on the third day. Look what John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us. It's plain and simple when you read the scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us this. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave, listen to that, he gave the right to become children of God. Whoa, he did. Amen. He gave us the right. See, the mark of a true Christian character, my friends, is love for others and obedience to God's word. A true Christian is indeed a child of God, a part of God's true family, and one who has been given a new life in Jesus Christ. Our second point for tonight of a Christian character traits is, and when I wrote this down, I kind of like, I don't know if I wanted to go there, but I did. The second character trait for us as true Christian is, what do they see? What do they see when they look at you? Tough question, isn't it? See, you might not notice. You might not notice. But people are listening to you. They hear the words you use with others and how you say things to them. They do. They're watching you like a hawk. For better or for worse, unbelievers will judge us or Christ in us by what we say to others, but also what we say about others. See, if we are caught up in gossip, if we're running around and gossiping to other people, or doing sinful acts, thinking we're getting away with it, I'm sorry to tell you this, we're not letting people see Christ in us. But if you try to believe the best in people and not jump to negative conclusions, people will see that you're different than most. You see, they may run to you with some sort of juicy gossip. Ooh, I got something on RW, y'all. Look, listen. But if you sit there, first thing you should do, you ought to tell the person, hey, don't bother me with that. I don't want to hear it. If you got a certain issue with a person, go to them. Don't bring it to me. Or if you want to say, look, okay, I respect you as a person, but please don't tell me nothing like that. And you'd be surprised how much by your actions, just by you doing that, which will really make them change in a way, kind of like, whoa, I thought everybody loves hearing gossip or something. No, folks, a true Christian character will turn that around. Will not entertain those things. Would not even dare to go there. Again, I always say this a lot in the message. If I had my camera hooked up, my hand would be raised up, because unfortunately, I went down that path a few times myself. And that time I spent alone with God for those 3 days, that was one thing that came up to me. Oh, really? Wow. And see, folks, if you demonstrate true Christian characters, many people you encounter will not jump to negative conclusions, and they will see you different. Let them hear words seasoned with salt. And more precisely, even as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, look what he said. This should be your framework. This should be your outline. Look what he said right there, my friends. He said this, most important. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In other words, he's flat out telling you, look, if you are showing true Christian characters, my friends, you should already know how to answer one another. And even if you get the chance to be heard by others, your actions can speak a lot louder than words. Can you get this? Even if you get the chance to hear or be heard by others, your actions can dictate. Your actions can say this. Your actions can say or speak louder than any other words spoken. And what you do is more important than what you say. Because words are cheap, my friends. They come a dime a dozen. The hard part is doing. But when you do for others, in fact, you are telling people about Jesus Christ without using words, just by your Christ-like character. Amen? Wow. Be more like Christ. Less of yourself. The third character trait is, and I didn't like going here neither. I was kind of telling God, God, wait a minute, what you got me going here with all this stuff? Hold on a minute. I don't like this part now neither. I kind of think I hear my mind laughing at me a little bit. Well, Jim, I'm sorry, but you know, you wanted something to present for these folks. Here's where you're going to go. Okay. But third character trait is this. What do we see? That's right. What do we see? That's a good question, isn't it? We should see that the Word of God sees in us. And let's look at a few passages telling us this. One of them is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And look what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. But also, look what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says about this. We should be able to identify ourselves with this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. And sadly, my friends, so many of us find ourselves basing our self-worth on how others see us and on our accomplishments, feeling shame from our past, defining our value based on our looks, or setting unrealistic standards for ourselves. But I got good news for you. It doesn't have to be this way. If only we could see ourselves as God sees us. We forget that our identity is found in Jesus Christ. We do. It is rooted in his freedom-giving mercy. Our identity is that of a child of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Our spiritual inheritance is one of forgiveness and intimate relationship with Jesus and hope of spending all eternity enjoying fellowship with God. Oh, yes. And these truths assure you and I of God's unconditional love and of the intimacy, security, and hope we find in him. And none of this is based on what we do. Rather, it is grounded in what God has already accomplished through Jesus. We, my friends, you and I, we need to see our character is based upon Christ and not us, and see the real love of God working through us to show others the same truth and for us to see who we really are. That's a lot. That's a lot. And the fourth point for tonight, the character trait is, the fourth character trait. And y'all think about this one too. When I was trying to pin this, I had to step away like I normally do, collect my thoughts, look at some scriptures, read some things. But the fourth character trait is what does God see in us? That's right. What does God see in you? We all want to know who we are, don't we? We seek and search and try to find ourselves. Many of us has taken those so-called personality tests and other assessments. But as helpful as those tests can be, have you ever stopped to ask, what does God think about me? Who does he say that I am? You see, folks, in all my 16 years as a Christian, I have never asked the question quite this way until writing this message for y'all tonight. And what I have found when looking for the answers, that God has a lot to say about what he thinks about us. A whole Bible is full of scriptures of what God sees in us. And to be honest here, there are way too many to even cover here tonight. But that's a lot, folks, of how he sees us. That's a lot. You don't believe me? You want to know how God sees you? Go through that whole Bible. Go through the whole Bible. And really look to see how he sees you. Because bottom line, folks, when we come to Jesus for salvation, we are made completely brand new. We are said to be in Christ. We are reconciled with God and counted righteous before him. Rather than sin or sinfulness, God sees the righteousness of his Son within us. That's how God sees us. He does not hold our sins against us, but having justified us, he invites us into an active relationship with him. He sees us as people who have been redeemed, who were broken, has now been restored, and much more. Again, when we surrender to Jesus, we are counted as holy and blameless because we are in Christ. And we are also being made holy through the process of sanctification. You want to know? Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 has to say about that. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Woo! Woo-hoo! My friends, oh my friends, this is the character of God that is in us. And this is how he sees us. And this is how, in actuality, the world should see in you. If they see something else different, you better go examine yourself and find out what's wrong. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Just as I said, the Bible, when I was trying to do this last point, I found this scripture. By the time I got to 12, I started laughing a little bit. I said, well, poor RW, she going to be typing her fingers off, you know, if I end up posting all these scriptures of how God sees us. Then Jimbo would probably be drinking a lot more water too. You know, I said, well, no. The whole Bible is filled with many descriptions of how God sees us in Christ. God talks about the way we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus talked about calling his disciples friend. Jesus called you a friend. Jesus even talked about his desires for his followers to be with him. It is evident throughout the Bible that in Christ, God sees us as his chosen ones, holy and beloved. This is not to say that God wears what I call rose-colored glasses or that we are without sin. Look what Psalms chapter 103, verse 14 tells us about this. Psalms 103:14. It says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers we are dust. But it is to say that God has chosen to lavish us with grace and mercy, making a way for us to be counted as righteousness. And he works in our hearts to actively make us more like him, all because of his love. All because of his love. And I love this, my friends. I love this a lot. God himself remembers our sin no more. He remembers not our sins. In fact, when you came to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into your life with a fullness, I can't best describe the words here right now, but when you are totally humble and seeking him, and you're for real in the heart, not with just words, mouth out of your mouths, not with thinking, with your heart. When you say, Jesus, please, come into me, cleanse me, purify me. Jesus, please, save me from God's wrath. And make me whole and make me new. When you said that with a sincere and contrite heart, folks, he makes us his children and then treats us as such. Wow. And in fact, he lavished us with his love. He equips us for all we need. He calls us to obedience. He disciplines us that we may walk straight, and sometimes we don't like that. I don't. He teaches us to live holy and pleasing lives, all that we may someday be with him. If then you have been raised with Christ, my friends, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, please do so. Not on things on earth. Don't concern yourself with the things of earth. Why? You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Bottom line here, my friends, our character is influenced and developed by our choices. Now, I love it how Daniel, we know the story, folks. Daniel resolved within his heart not to defile himself in Babylon. And that godly choice was an important step in formulating an invincible integrity in the young man's life. Character, in turn, folks, influences our choices. The integrity of the upright guides them. Character will help us weather the storms of lives, will help us weather the storms we face, and will keep us from sin. It is the Lord's purpose to develop character within us. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Godly character, my friends, godly character is the result of the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification within us. That's godly character. Character in the believer is consistent manifestation of Jesus in his life. It is the purity of the heart that God gives, becoming purity in action. God sometimes uses trials to strengthen our character. Yes, he does. And we also rejoice in all of our sufferings, because we know that suffering, and the Word of God says so, we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, guess what? Character. And character, best of all, hope. The Lord is pleased, my friends, when his children grow in character. Look what 1 Chronicles 29:17 says. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. And last but not least, my dear friends, we can develop character by controlling our thoughts, practicing Christian virtues, guarding our hearts, and keeping good company. Men and women of character will, in fact, my friends, set a good example for others to follow, and their godly reputation will be evident for all to see. So I'll leave y'all with this last question for tonight. I didn't know how to end this. I really didn't. You know, I prayed and prayed and prayed. Grabbed some of my books I got all around me on the shelves, looking for something. Sitting still. And I couldn't draw no conclusions. But eventually, the Holy Spirit decided, just wait. 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 You see, folks, godly character mainly involves in a lot of waiting. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? We don't like to wait, not us as people. Oh, no. You want to test and find out how well that you like to wait? I guarantee you, folks, go to Walmart, got a basket full of groceries, and only two cash registers open. See how well you like to wait. We laugh, but that's true, isn't it? True Christian character comes by waiting upon the Lord, sitting still. Sitting still. And when you wait, your character grows. That's why I leave y'all with this last question for tonight. What is your Christian character? What does it look like when others look at you, talk to you, hang out with you? What does it look like? Pay attention to this. Is it of God or is it of self? Which one? If I'm looking at you, if I met you eyeball to eyeball right now, I mean, we can play any person on the internet. We're hiding behind a computer screen. You can say all the fancy dancy words all you want, but is that really your Christian character? Is it? Think about it. Is it of God or is it of self? Only you should be able to answer that. And let's hope that is a good one. Amen.